Praise the Lord, we have the recorder on. Hi, Jackie, before we forget. Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Andy and Dale. Hi, Jim and Kathy. Hi, Joanne. I hope your missions trip to the Dominican was a blessing. We look forward to hearing you talk about it on Wednesday night. So I'm back. Thank you to Pastor Dave and his wife Linda, who have been covering while we've been gone. I went to work Friday, covering for people so they could go out shopping the Friday after Thanksgiving. And I realized it was my fifth day at work this month. Yep, four too many. Thanks, Jerry. Yep, I have something like 125 days until I retire from my day job. Kind of looking forward to that. I want to talk this morning. The topic this morning is, the command this morning is to be peaceful. Those of you with the bulletin, on the front of the bulletin, you see a mallard duck sitting there just calmly in the water. How many knows what's going on underneath the water? Them little legs are just a-kicking. There are things happening down there. There's dangers in the water. Big pike eat ducks. Big catfish, big bass eat ducks. Alligators, big turtles eat ducks. There's a lot of things down there that could be going on under that water. But there's the call for each and every one of us is no matter what is going on around us, we're to be peaceful. That's a challenge sometimes. Romans 12, beginning with verse 14, says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Notice it doesn't say, if anybody happens to do this, if you encounter this situation, it says, bless those who persecute you. That sounds pretty much like it's going to happen kind of statement, doesn't it? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Jesus was called, or he was invited over to a Pharisee's house for dinner one day, for a meal. And he gets there, and the scripture says he noticed how everyone was jockeying for the best seats. Now again, that's the real New English translation, because I don't remember exactly how it's worded. But it says that the people were basically contending, trying to get the choice spots and the best places to be for the feast, those of the most honor. And Jesus says, when you go to a feast, don't do that. Rather, take the low seat. For it is better for you to be called up than to be told, you're in somebody else's seat, go sit someplace else. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. How often in this world, in our lives, or prayerfully it's not us, but sometimes it is. Well, to hear people saying, I only want what's coming to me. It's my right. Fighting for a benefit. You know, God's going to take care of you. God is absolutely going to take care of us. Continues on in verse 15, 16 says, do not be wise in your own opinion. You know, there's your way and then there's the right way, which is my way. Anybody ever said that? Anybody ever thought that? Yeah. The Navy's way is always different. Continuing on, verse 17, repay no one for evil for evil. Notice, again, it doesn't say if somebody does something wrong to you. don't be mean back to them. It says, repay no one evil for evil. You know, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Not you might have, not it could happen to a scant few of you. In this world you will have tribulation. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Do we look for the benefit to other people? Do we put our focus on how can we make something life easier for somebody else? How can we be a blessing to other people? We need to. That's part of being showing God's grace and God's mercy to the people around us. That's part of making a difference in the world that we encounter. We are here for a purpose, for a time, because God has equipped us. He has put us here right now. You ever hear the saying, somebody was a soul born out of time, like they would have fit in so much better at a different time in history? Said, boy, it would sure be good if I was born back then. You know, there's a proverb that says, it is foolish to say that the former days are better than these. The good old days, it is foolish to say that the former days were better than these. We are here just for the time that God has brought us here. And the God who sees the end from the beginning, who knows everything about us, who knit us together in our mother's womb, has us here specifically for this time and age. Because God, if he wanted us around another time, could have done that. He is God after all, right? Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Did you catch that? As much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. Do not take vengeance on anybody. It's like the very next sentence. Live at peace with all men. Don't get your own vengeance. Leave it in the hands of God. Rather, give place to wrath. Rather, just walk away. You know, have people done you wrong? Absolutely. I don't have to know your backstory to know people have done you wrong. Because it's fully set in the heart of men to do evil. The Bible tells us that. Walking through this world, we see turmoil on every side. I know people have done you wrong one way or another, one day or another, and maybe a whole bunch of them. But we are called to live at peace with all men, with everything that's in us. And realize that some of the things God, or most of the things God calls us to do and commands us to do, we can't do it in our own strength. We certainly can't do it in our own understanding. But as we seek the face of God, Lord, this is what your word says. This is how I want to live my life. Help me, Lord, to not seek vengeance. Help me, Father, to try to be peaceful no matter what's going on. Help me, Lord, to trust you even in the turmoil, even in the rough situations, even when I'm being treated like dirt by people around me, even when I'm being falsely accused, even when all of these things are going on. Help me, Lord, to be peaceful. No matter what the turmoil is that's going on around me. Help me, Father, to be an example, a witness of your grace and your mercy. Help me, Lord, to trust you, that you are the one who's going to straighten it out in the end. Down in Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now, there are two young men that Paul kind of raised up in the ministry and put in positions over the church. One was Timothy. The other one was Titus. So he's writing to this young pastor that he's put in place in ministry. Titus was in Cyprus. Cyprus is an island in the Mediterranean, half claimed by Greece, half claimed by Turkey. That's how it is now. But it's been there a big part of history all these years. So Titus is set there as the head of the senior pastor over the church in this whole island. He's the local administrator. He's the local bishop. So he's put there in a position of authority. Paul writing him a letter, giving him words of wisdom, giving him some guidance. So in chapter 3, it says, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities. So he said, this is what you're sharing with your church, sharing with the people around you. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Anybody ever had a bad boss? Anybody ever had a situation where somebody in a position of authority seemed to have enjoyed that authority a little bit too much and made your life difficult? Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work. Again, we're called to be at peace. We're called to be peaceful in our circumstances. To speak evil of no one. That's one of those hard ones. But to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. All humility to all men. Not just being humble around your friends and everybody else gets to see another side of you. Show your humility to all men, to all people. For we ourselves were once foolish. Here's the key to it. We have to recognize that God has done some wondrous things in us and has changed us and is continuing to change us. And the people that we are encountering might not have had God bring them as far as God has already worked in us. So he says, recognize that we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Can you look in that list and see things that went on in your past before the Lord got a hold of you? Okay, let's be completely honest. Can we look in that list and see things that we were even after the Lord got a hold of us? But wait a minute. Who's been foolish in the last week? You know, exactly. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, by whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul says when you encounter those people around you, when you see the turmoil going all around you, you are still supposed to be peaceful. You are supposed to be kind. You are supposed to be loving. You are supposed to be obedient to authorities. You're supposed to be humble. Because you recognize that as messed up as people around us are, we've been that messed up. But before we didn't have any hope, but because of the grace and love and mercy of God working in our hearts, working in our lives, we can say, we have a way through this. Even if I can't get through this in my own strength, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can walk through whatever the turmoil happens to be, because this is not the end of the story. Job said, man born of woman is few days and full of trouble. The days we have on this earth are turmoil. But Job also says, but I know that my Redeemer lives, and in my flesh I will see Him. He had a hope, an expectation of what God was going to do, so that even if during this time on earth our life has got turmoil all around us, we are being abused verbally, physically, we are being put down, we are being treated unfairly, we are being cheated, whatever the situation is, it is temporary. And the God of love and grace who's working in us is working through us. And it tells us in James that God holds us up as trophies of His grace. God wants to display us as trophies of His grace. Down in Matthew chapter 5. Everybody know what's in chapter 5 of Matthew? Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I was in Israel for a year and a half. I lived right on the Sea of Galilee, actually up on the hill in Tiberias. And the Sea of Galilee is a lake 8 miles wide, 12 miles long, sits down in a bowl with mountains all around. It is a natural amphitheater. So that as you talk, your voice carries. Jesus said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He saw these multitudes all around him, and he began to talk. He said, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." As you listen to this list, the things that Jesus said, the people that are blessed, the poor, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted. Jesus is saying, in this world, you've got problems. You have turmoil. But God sees everything you're going through. And He cares, and He's at work in our lives. It doesn't say you're not going to be poor. It doesn't say you're not going to be persecuted. It doesn't say you're not going to be oppressed. It doesn't say you're not going to have problems. It says when you are, recognize that God sees this and has promised a blessing through it. He hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't walked away from us. He hasn't just left us in the midst of our turmoil without any help, or without any comfort, and without any strength. He says these things happen. These things come into your lives. There are going to be turmoil. There is going to be problems. There are going to be circumstances that can be overwhelming. But I still love you, and I'm with you. Don't worry about taking vengeance. I'll take care of that. You worry about being gracious in the midst of it. You worry about being my witness in the midst of it. And I'm going to use that in people's lives. That's what God tells each and every one of us. He doesn't say we're not going to go through things. He says, as we go through things, allow God to work in our lives and show His grace and love and mercy through us, because it's going to touch and make a difference in the people around us. Psalm 69, verse 5, starting with verse 5. Psalmist says, "O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me." In other words, let me not be a reproach on my brothers and sisters. Don't let my failings hurt somebody else. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O Lord God. O God of Israel. Lord, don't let my failures and my shortcomings become an obstacle for somebody else getting to draw close to you. Help me to be a faithful witness. Help me, Lord, to show your love. Help me, Father, to not be an obstacle, to not be a barrier, to not be something in the way of other people seeking your face. Help me, Lord, to not be the one they said, oh, well, if that's what a Christian looks like, I don't want any of that. Because we've all seen that in our lives. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I am become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because the zeal of your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen upon me. The psalmist says, when I started seeking the Lord, people just didn't understand. When I started trying to draw close to you, all of a sudden I wasn't welcome in the old crowds. All of a sudden I wasn't welcome in my family. All of a sudden, people thought there was something wrong with me because I want to draw close to you. We see that in our own lives. We see that in our own families. Hey, you want to come do something on Sunday? Yeah, I'll be over after church. Church? You going to church? Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. Want to come? Your seat's open. No, maybe later, you know, some other time. We all get this. As messed up as you are, what makes you think you fit in church? We all been there. But God is at work in us. It's not unusual. It's not something rare. It's not something unheard of for people who seek the Lord to all of a sudden be not welcome. The psalmist said here, I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. I'm not even welcome at home. Because the zeal of your house has eaten me up. You made such a difference and such a change in my life. They don't know how to relate to me and they don't want to relate to me anymore. Lord, help me to be a light. Final passage of scripture, back to Titus 3, taking off at verse 8. Says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. He doesn't say that we are saved by good works. He says that this is part of our testimony. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, and contentions and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So to Titus, again, the bishop over the island of Cyprus. No, Crete. Sorry, he's in Crete, not Cyprus. The bishop over the island of Crete. He says, I want you to... This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Share this with people all the time, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Be careful to be a good witness. Be careful to conduct yourself different from the people around you. Be careful not to let our circumstances overwhelm us. Be careful to show God's grace and God's love in everything that we do. Because people are watching whether we think they are or not. These are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes. Don't let people get you into an argument. genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Don't let people get you into an argument. You can have a discussion about the word, but don't let it become a contentious argument. Because those who are doing it, who are trying to drag you into it, Scripture already tells us they're sinning. They know they're sinning. They're condemned by their own guilt, self-condemned. But we are to be a light and a witness every place we go. We are to be peaceful, just like that duck sitting on top of the water. What people see is the peaceful. Even if the legs are going like crazy underneath, even if there's big fish and turtles and alligators and dangerous things down there, we are to be at peace no matter what's going on, because God is the one taking care of us. Father, we just come before you this morning thanking you, Lord, for your love. Thanking you, Father, for your word. Thanking you, Lord, for your encouragement and your strength. Thanking you, Father, for the reminder that regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of what's going on around us, Lord, we have your blessing. When we're persecuted, blessed are those who are persecuted. When we are meek, blessed are the meek. When we are poor, blessed are the poor. Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and despitefully use you. Lord, that no matter what our circumstances are, because of your grace and love and mercy in us, Father, we can be at peace. Knowing, Father, that you are aware of our circumstances, you're aware of the situation, that you are at work in us. So help us, Lord, just to show that grace, show that mercy, show that love to the people around us. Because everything we go through here is temporary. Even the painful and hurtful things are temporary. And for the glory that is set before us, we can endure whatever comes. Not in our own strength, but through Christ Jesus. We give you all praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.